So tonight, we're going to talk about Christian growth. And if you want to, you can turn to 2 Peter in verse 18, and we'll get to that in just a minute. I lost my train of thought for my introduction, so I might just skip that. You don't need it anyway. You know, I love the Apostle Peter. When you look at his life, he was a real go-getter. You know, he's always seemed to be the guy to roll up his sleeves and get to action, right? To pick up a sword and to meet Jesus on the water. And he's always seemed to be the get-to-work kind of guy. And it's interesting to me that in the last recorded words of the Apostle Peter in verse 18, he talks about the subject of growth. He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." You know, just about a month or two ago, we had a guest speaker, Mike Roy, came, and he presented the lesson right out of 2 Peter 3. Remember, it was a terrific lesson talking about the judgment day and talking about what kind of people we ought to be thinking about that day coming on. And this is how Peter ends this letter. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's really a theme that we find throughout the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, and I'm not going to read all this because Brian actually read it this morning. I appreciate that. But he did sum it up in verse 15. He did say, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." And so it seems clear to all of us that part of being a Christian is growing. It's essential. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Fine. We'll use the space bar. You know, as I said in my introduction, that some of the material, some of the thoughts that I'm going to present to you, it literally changed my life. Most of you know me. You've known me for a long time. My parents were Christians. They raised me in a godly home. You witnessed me be baptized some 30 years ago. I consider myself faithful in attendance, and I think in 30 years of study, I've even accumulated some knowledge. But there was something fundamentally wrong, I felt. There was always something missing. There was always something that just didn't feel complete. And so when I thought about that, and I'm not a doctor, but I give you this simple observation that, you know, we talk sometimes about reaching a certain age and you hit a midlife crisis. And I think sometimes spiritually you hit these spiritual walls where you're either going to fight or you're going to quit. And I think you know what I'm talking about, because we've known people that have hit these walls and they just quit. And there's probably some here tonight that have hit the wall and they're here because they fought. And I'm thinking that there's possibly somebody here tonight that's there. And, you know, they're trying to make that choice. And so when I was looking at my life and thinking about these things, I realized that, yes, I had some times where I grew. I had some times where I declined. And so when I evened it all out, it looked to me like a straight line. And so I felt that through all this time, I'm right where I started. But that's the incompleteness that I'm talking about. And I realized the problem was is that I didn't feel like I grew in the way that God wanted me to grow. I didn't grow and reach the potential that He wanted me to. Which means I could have done much more good. I could have helped so many more people. And so, tonight we're going to talk about what God has to say about growing. And, like I said, it's very important. And I believe that He's given us all the tools and all the knowledge that we need to grow in the way that He wants us to. Using some very simple illustrations that we would understand here on earth. So as I stated, these are the last recorded words of the Apostle Peter. To grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He also said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that we are to long as newborn babes for the pure milk of the Word. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that it may grow in respect to salvation. When we first become Christians, we are like babes in Christ. But that's not where we're supposed to remain. There's a growth process. We're supposed to mature spiritually. But that's where we start. And of course, we read Ephesians 4:15. In the Wednesday night Bible class, we are using some material called Christ in You. And we just recently talked about the new covenant and how it's prepared, how it was prepared for spiritually mature people. That God had planned for His people to enter this new covenant by a complete renovation of heart, a complete change of the heart. And so what that means is that He's called for a true spirituality and an unfeigned faith. So yes, a babe at first, but those who don't grow eventually get cut off. It's John chapter 15, verse 2. So we can obviously see the seriousness and the importance of growing. You know, physically speaking, the desire to grow is innate. It's in us. I mean, as parents, we watch our children grow. We see them grow physically. We see them grow emotionally. We see them grow intellectually. And even as adults, we can do this. And we can accumulate knowledge over time. We could study different theories and read books. And we can grow in certain aspects. And so we understand growth. We know what this means. And as Christians, I'm going to suggest to you that we must understand that we have to grow spiritually. We have to, if we want to enter heaven. Well, let's talk about the origin of it. It's just easy if I put all the slides up at once, and then we'll just talk about it. All growth begins with life. Fairly simple concept, we understand that. Without life, there can't be any growth. And so, without seed, there can't be any birth or any life. And what did the Apostle Peter say in the first letter, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25? He said, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." So Peter's saying that the living word is the imperishable seed. That's the origin of our spiritual growth. It's right here. And then John, in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, remember that the rule of Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he likened it unto a new birth. I want to talk about the nature of our spiritual growth. It is a spiritual development. It is a growth in our character. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Verse 24, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." And Paul in the Roman letter, chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but what? But be transformed by the renewing of our minds." And so growth involves a development of our character, a complete transformation. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the lesson, but to The way to really know if we're growing is if you see a serious difference in yourself. The way you talk, the way we act, the way we behave, the way we think, the way we love. If you can see a significant difference between before you came out of the water and after, then we know that we're growing. At least we know we're progressing forward. And so I want to talk about spiritual growth and the two aspects that I see in the scriptures, because I believe it talks about growing downward and then upward. Downward and then upward. The first must precede the second. It worked once. Downward growth. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. This is the main verse of the evening. If you can take this home with you tonight and continue to read it, continue to remember it, because this is really gets to the crux of the matter. Colossians 2 verse 6 and 7, he says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." You can see the comparison here. There's the rooted and then the built up. There's the downward and then the upward. And the reason why I say all this is because as Christians, we can make the mistake of not allowing the word to be rooted deeply in our hearts. We come out of the water and we're ready to go. We're ready to shoot upward. But we don't even have the word implanted deep enough. And then what happens? We'll look at the parable of sower in a few minutes. Some of the dangers that can happen when it's not completely rooted in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Same language, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to what? To comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. The downward growth first, rooted in our hearts. And then as a result, what we're able to comprehend, all of it, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and we're filled up in the fullness of God. So yes, this must come first, and it's vital. And it's a simple yet powerful illustration, and we're going to look at this in just a few minutes. You think about a seed that you plant for a tree. First, it penetrates the soil with its roots, and then it grows upward. It grows down first and then up. And I didn't know this until I looked it up, but most trees, its roots extend beyond its widest branch. So the roots go beyond its widest branch. And so the downward part is the crucial part. How deep does the word need to penetrate our hearts? Well, there's some trees in Arizona that have roots that go 75 feet. So I'll just say that. How about that? Let the word of God penetrate your heart 75 feet. I think that's deep enough. So upward growth cannot take place without downward growth. Look all the way back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings. The same terminology is used. Chapter 19 and verse 30. It talks about the remnant of the house of Judah. It says, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." It's the same terminology. And so that's the key, I think, for spiritual growth for us. To first allow this word to penetrate our hearts so deep that it makes such an impact on our life that we change completely who we are. We're completely transformed. Once that has taken place, then we can proceed upward. Then we can start bearing fruit. All right, I promised the parable of the sower. Let's look at that. Mark chapter 4. To me, in my life, I think this is where I made the fatal error. Because I thought I knew exactly what this was talking about. But I have a different perspective now. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells a parable of the sower. And to me, I thought that I was the good soil because I obeyed the gospel and I was baptized. I thought that's what he was talking about. But I don't think that's what he's talking about anymore. I think the good soil is exactly what we've been saying. Is allowing the word to penetrate our heart completely. I think it's possible to be baptized, to obey the gospel, be baptized, and yet still fall amongst these other groups because we didn't let the word penetrate deep enough. And so the thorns can choke out the word, or unbelief can come in the form of the hard soil. And so that's where I think I made my mistake, and I'm trying to point it out to you as well. But he says here in the parable of the sower, in verse 5, that other seed had fell on the verse 4, and came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came and choked it up, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. So to me, in order for it to grow up, in order for us to bear fruit and increase, we would definitely have to be this good soil. And the only way to be that good soil is to have the word deeply implanted so that it's unremoved. It's not, you can't move it. You can't take it out. There's no thorns that can choke it out. There's no sun that can scorch it. It's there to stay. Finally, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. It's along the same ideas. Where is our foundation at? Jesus says that everyone who comes to me and hears my words and what? And acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's talk about our upward growth. Once we are rooted deeply in the Word, Colossians 2:7 says that we can be built up in Him. We can move upwards now. We can grow upwards. And we can bear fruit. And so we have the living seed is deeply implanted in our hearts. We have faith in Christ as the foundation, as we just read. Now we can grow upward and we can bear fruit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. Peter says these are things we need to add. These are things that we can grow into. Now for this very reason also, apply all diligence in your faith, and supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, if we are rooted, we can grow and we can withstand any trials that come our way. James talks a lot about trials and persecutions that come, and that can really shake the faith. But if we are deep, if we do have deep roots, then we can stand unmoved. And Proverbs talks a little bit about this in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 3, a man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. And then he said in verse 12, the wicked desires the booty of evil men, but the root of the righteous will yield fruit. And so the root of the righteous cannot be moved, and the root of the righteous can yield fruit. And so there's a picture that I've put up there for you to see, just to see yourselves as. There's the roots going down deep, and they're stretched out, and then the tree grows and the branches. And we are likened unto branches in Christ's kingdom. So let's just sum up real quick what we just went over. Having the living seed deeply rooted in our hearts means that we are completely changed. Like I said, how we act, how we think, how we behave, how we speak, what we spend our time on, who we spend our time with, our associations, our habits, all that you should be able to see a significant difference in. If you would ask, well, what do you mean by having the word deeply implanted? What does that mean? Well, that's what it means. There should be a significant difference. If it's implanted correctly, like the good soil suggests, then there will be a significant difference. And so no more inflated claims to spirituality, but instead a total control of our lives in Jesus Christ. Well, what about the means of it? Well, just like our regular lives, we need food to sustain it. Life can't be sustained without nourishment, without food, without water. So spiritually, we cannot be sustained without food, without nourishment. We won't have any growth or development if we don't feed ourselves the Word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We already looked at 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Thought I had it memorized. Talks about converting the soul, that's what I remember. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And so spiritual food is a must. So daily Bible reading must have spiritual food for us to grow. But that's not enough. Right? We can fill ourselves with an abundance of food, but if we don't use it, what possible good can it do? And so we need to exercise. We need to discipline ourselves with the food that we've taken in. Food is necessary, but even an abundance of food isn't enough. So we got to put it to good use. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 talks about disciplining ourselves unto what? Unto godliness. James chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. We all know that passage. Do not be hearers of the word only, but doers. And so, growth comes from food. Growth can come from putting that food to use. And thirdly, our environment, our atmosphere, what's around us. You think about trying to grow something. I don't really have a green thumb. We tried putting a garden in the back with little success. But those of you that grow things know how to grow things. The environment, the soil that it's in, right? It can't be in the dark. It needs to be in warm sunshine and light. It needs to be fed. It needs to be watered. And so it's the same comparison for us spiritually. What's our environment? What are we feeding ourselves with? Are we using those things? So we have to be aware that evil surroundings can destroy all that wholesome food that we take in. Anything that all that wholesome food and exercise can be destroyed by simply allowing ourselves to be in the wrong environment. We can't grow. We can't grow in a dark atmosphere. On Wednesday night, we had the invitation by Craig. We talked about 1 John, about being in the light. And so again, life cannot thrive in a dark place. And we can't thrive. We can't thrive in the dark. Sunshine and light is needed. Pure atmosphere. What are we breathing in? What are we around? What are our associations? What are we hearing? What are we listening to? What are we agreeing with? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Everybody knows that. Every evil company corrupts what? Good morals. And then we talked this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the opposite of that. Coming together for what? For the purpose of edification. Right? So we have to make sure that we're choosing good people for associations so that our environment is pure. Growing life needs a good environment. Well, finally, the need of it. Why do we need to grow? Well, first of all, because we need to live. Because where progress ends, decay begins. It's kind of like the opposite of life. As soon as we're born, we're going the opposite way. We're getting older. Yes, we're growing, but we're getting older. We're decaying. Spiritually speaking, it should be the opposite. We should be going the opposite direction of our physical body. We should be going forward. Progress. We should be growing. Maturing. Right? Matthew 3, verse 10. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little. We want to live. And Jesus, right on in the beginning of his ministry, talked about the axe being laid at the root. This gets to the point of the expectation of our Lord. He said the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so, yes, we want to fulfill expectations of our Heavenly Father. He wants us to grow. And if we don't, we know what the consequences are. We're unfit for his kingdom. So we start as babes in Christ, but it's our responsibility to mature into adults. Second Peter chapter 1. We're almost at the end. Second Peter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. We'll just make the last 3 points. We talked about the qualities that we can attain. And then Peter talks about those who lack those qualities, the danger. He says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. And so another reason that we want to grow is to make sure that we maintain our spiritual vision. Because a failure to grow will reduce our memory of what God's done for us and will reduce our spiritual perception. In other words, we're not focusing on the right thing. We're not seeing the goal ahead if we're not growing. Verse 10, he talks about stumbling. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So we want to grow to stop ourselves from stumbling, from falling back, from backsliding. If we're growing, we're going to reduce the possibility of apostasy. And we're going to keep ourselves from all these spiritual pitfalls that we know are coming our way. And then he says, finally, that we may at last enter the eternal kingdom. And this is the real reason we want to grow. Because he says, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Heaven is certainly a high and holy habitation, and it's got to cause us to think that we must be fit to be able to enter it. It's a prepared place for prepared people. It's where we want to be. So just remember that we have the living word. It is the imperishable seed. And it's the source of our spiritual growth. That's where we need to go. And then remember, please, that your growth needs to be first downward, then upward. Let it be completely implanted, as James chapter 1, verse 21 says, that it may save your soul. And then feed it correctly. Give it the right food. Give it the right environment. Stay out of unholy places and bad associations. And then put it to use, and you will grow. And as a result, we're going to fulfill the expectation that we have. And that's to please our Heavenly Father, and that's to go to heaven. That's what it's all about. I really hope that tonight was beneficial to you in some way. I hope that you're here tonight, and you're thinking about things in your life. You're thinking about things that you can change, things about you can improve on. thinking about growing more and what you can do for the Lord. You might be here tonight and you haven't been baptized and you're still lost in your sins, but if you've heard the gospel tonight and if you're willing and you want to believe and obey, we can help make that happen. You can be baptized tonight. You can have your sins washed away, and you can start that as a new babe in Christ, and you can start this growth process that we've been talking about tonight. But if you're here tonight and you've been struggling in your faith, you've made some poor choices, we certainly want to help you too. We can pray for you. We can talk to you and talk about things that we have in common and how ways that we overcame problems together. In any case, I hope that you would think about your status before God tonight as we stand and sing.